From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies in the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. How much owest thou unto my Lord? Has he ever done anything for thee? Has he forgiven thy sins? Has he covered thee with a robe of righteousness? Has he set thy feet upon a rock? Has he established thy goings? Has he prepared heaven for thee? Has he prepared thee for heaven? Has he written thy name in his book of life? Has he given thee countless blessings? Has he laid up for thee a store of mercies which eye hath not seen nor ear heard? Then do something for Jesus worthy of his love. Give not a mere wordy offering to a dying Redeemer. How will you feel when your Master comes, if you have to confess that you did nothing for him, but kept your love shut up like a stagnant pool, neither flowing forth to his poor or to his work? Out on such a love as that! What do men think of a love which never shows itself in action? Why, they say, open rebuke is better than secret love. Who will accept a love so weak that it does not actuate you to a single deed of self-denial, of generosity, of heroism, or zeal? Think how he has loved you and given himself for you. Do you know the power of that love? Then let it be like a rushing mighty wind to your soul, to sweep out the clouds of your worldliness and clear away the mists of sin. For Christ's sake, be this the tongue of fire that shall sit upon you. For Christ's sake, be this the divine rapture, the heavenly afflatus to bear you aloft from earth, the divine spirit that shall make you bold as lions and swift as eagles in your Lord's service. Love should give wings to the feet of service and strength to the arms of labor. Fixed on God with a constancy that is not to be shaken, resolute to honor Him with a determination that is not to be turned aside, and pressing on with an ardor never to be wearied, let us manifest the constraints of love to Jesus. May the divine lodestone draw us heavenward towards itself.
My soul rejoice.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth message in a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The text is Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, where God said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. In introducing the subject of the Holy Spirit's restraining influence in the world, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that the human race is totally depraved, and that this depravity is present at birth. In their natural state, men are capable of the most degenerate acts of wickedness and violence. The Bible teaches that it is the Holy Spirit who keeps men back from being as evil as they could be. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the Holy Spirit's restraining influence.
Every putrefying sore of a sinful and wicked action that men take and that may be seen upon their character is the result of a nature that is inbred and inborn, a nature of sin. Now I want you to get that this is what the Bible is teaching. It certainly is something that's out of line with what men teach. We live in a day when the prevailing philosophy among men, whether they understand the philosophy or whether they don't, whether they know the ins and the outs of the big words that the thinkers use, the prevailing philosophy among men is what we call existentialism, which has as its basic position that man is not born with any moral nature whatsoever, but he merely does things, and his character, his nature, is the result of what he's doing, rather than the other way around. But we say this from the Word of God, that whatever men say, God says the nature is totally corrupt. Isaiah 48 and 8 puts it very simply at the last line of the verse, thou wast called a transgressor from the womb. Now you can't go much further back than that. Thou wast called a transgressor from the womb. And in Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. In Psalm 51, David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, God is getting right to the very roots of human being here. And he's saying that there is such a thing as natural and total depravity. Now, because of this, sinners naturally hate God and they hate God's truth. When you stop to think of it, you know, we're in a world that the Lord has created. I remember the first time I heard, I don't know if it was in a science class in school or not, you hear tidbits of information and you take them at face value, but I remember being told that when you examine the snowflakes that fall, there's not two snowflakes exactly identical. Stop to think of that and you'll see what an amazing thing it is. But we're in a world that the Lord has created. And as on earth a workman has his trademark on everything he makes, the trademark of the Lord is on everything he has made. If we could see straight, we couldn't take a blade of grass and look at it and understand it correctly without looking through it right back to the mighty creator of it. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Everything that the Lord has made has his mark upon it. And men ought to be able to see it. But the trouble is that they can't see it because of this wicked, willful, total, sinful depravity. What do they do with this information, we may call it, in God's creation? Well, it's interesting. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, at the last line of the verse, we read that they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, that's a rather ambiguous statement as we see it here. People may think from this that this is a picture of people who hold the truth. They believe the truth, but they continue on in sin. That's not what Paul is saying. He is saying they hold down the truth. The word we would use is they suppress the truth because of their unrighteousness. You see, because they have a sinful nature, they hate God and God's truth, and therefore they suppress it. That's why ungodly scientists can scan the heavens, and they can examine every part of earth, and they can deny the God who made them both. Because not that the heavens have ceased declaring the glory of God, but that they are suppressing, holding down, because of the wicked bias of their heart, holding down the witness of God's truth. Paul takes this up again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he says these words in verses 14 and 15. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now notice it very carefully. The natural man, first of all, does not receive the things of God. Why does he not receive them? Because he cannot know them. There's an inability. He cannot know them. because of the inward wickedness and bias of his heart. Romans 8 and 7 puts it absolutely clearly that the mind of the flesh, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the result of all this ungodly nature is, of course, wicked action. I'm sure you've read at some time, Romans chapter 3, verse 10, right through to verse 18. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I always get a little bit worried about people who are talking about how they found the Lord. Well, I have to say that there's not a thing in the Bible about sinners finding the Lord. There's a lot about the Lord finding sinners, because sinners don't even seek after God. There's none that doeth good. They're altogether gone out of the way and become unprofitable. Their throat an open sepulchre, their tongue using deceit, the poison of asps under their lips, their mouth full of cursing and bitterness, their feet swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Now, this is all because, verse 18 says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Here is the result. Now, I've taken a long time to establish this from the Bible today for various reasons. One, because we live in a day when even those who profess to be Bible believers do not pay enough attention to the doctrine of total depravity. In fact, they hardly believe it at all. But the real reason is to show you what this text is really all about this morning. Here's the doctrine of total depravity. It's summed up in the words of Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made man upright. That's creation. God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. And if a sinner is left to himself, he'll pursue his sin with all his wickedness, and it will break out in all its pollution. His nature will express itself up to the hilt until it leads him down to hell. But having said all that, there's another thing that's very clear, and it's this. It's clear that unsaved men are not always as wicked as they might be. You ever stop to think of that? There is no sin of which your nature is incapable. No sin. And yet, when you look around the world, unsaved men do not commit all the sin, at least outwardly, that they may commit. Not everybody has cut his mother's throat. Not everybody has plumbed the same depths of iniquity, at least in outward works and actions. So how are we to explain this total depravity, and yet men, on the other hand, not being as bad as they might be? Some people simply explain it by saying total depravity is not true. That's not the answer. The real answer is the restraining work of the Holy Spirit. We read in our text this morning about the Spirit striving with man. Striving with man. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, you have a verse to which we'll probably return in a minute or two. In verse 6, we read that there is that which withholdeth the evil that's in the world. In verse 7 we read, he who now letteth, or he who now hinders, will hinder. And he's talking about hindering the fury and the power of Antichrist and anti-Christianism. Now let's think of this. There is therefore in this world the operation of God the Holy Spirit, restraining the expression of the work of evil, of the devil, of sin and wickedness that would naturally flow from the fallen hearts and minds of men. Now that it is the work of God that does this, that it's God that keeps a lid on sin, is very, very easily proved. In Romans 1, verse 26 and the following verses, you read three times of people that God gave up. In other words, he took the restraints off. And when God gave them up, what was the result? The result was a reprobate mind. The result was reprobate living. The result was immorality of the most terrible description. The result was men going down into the depths of the cesspool of iniquity. Once God took the restraints off, that proves beyond all doubt that the only thing that formerly had kept them out of the depths was the gracious restraining hand of the Lord. Now, the Spirit of God can do this in many, many ways, and I'm not really going to preach on them this morning, but it's interesting to note how he can do it. He can do it simply by providence. He has done this down through the history of the world. For instance, it is by the providence of God that wicked immorality leads to vile diseases in the body. And there are many who otherwise would plunge into the abyss of filthy living, who are held back because of the price they would have to pay in their own body. I remember speaking to one young man who had taken the first step down an awful road that would wreck his life, wreck his home, wreck his marriage. And he came trembling, broken in mind and body. And you know, while he thought of losing his wife and while he thought of losing his home as a terrible thing, there was one thing that made him weep like a child and shake like a leaf in the breeze. And that is that for some time he would not know but that he had contracted some terrible disease. I want to tell you, there was a fear there that put up a barricade in his life to further escapades in the wickedness of sin. That's the providence of God. Dr. Bob Jones got into trouble with some intellectual idiots, clerical idiots, here in Greenville not too long ago, when he dared to say that the AIDS epidemic in the United States was the judgment of God upon sodomy. Well, at the expense of being reactionary and the idea of being thought backward, I'm glad to say that he was absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I want to tell you, it's very interesting to me that the government is spending more money trying to get that thing right than it is trying to investigate the illnesses that are afflicting decent people. You ever worry about that or wonder about that? It tells you an awful lot about the government and those who really are pulling the strings and the puppet politicians are jumping. Let you know what's really going on. But I say this to you. They may get to the bottom of the AIDS virus. They may not. They may or they may not. I care not really. As far as this particular aspect of the case is concerned. I certainly do care about the innocent people who are terribly afflicted by it. But whether they solve it or whether they don't solve it, it's just one of numberless epidemic diseases that a holy God can send. And let me go this far, because you'll see the reason for this statement in a few minutes. I pray he will send in order to keep men back from the wickedness and the folly of filthy living.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.